Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
All right, everyone, we are back. It's Inside Boxing Live, presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's Chris Algieri, and we are arrived. I can't even talk, Chris. We have arrived. That's what happens when we take a few days off. We have arrived at Fight Week, PBC on Prime on PPV.com. Roach versus Pitbull. We have Janibek versus Arislandi Lara. We have Oshaki Foster versus Stephen Fulton. A triple header. It's a quadruple header, actually. I'm limiting here. Quadruple header. I'm heading down to San Antonio tomorrow, going to the Spurs game, going to get some boots, going to walk the river walk, going to get some churros, going to do the whole thing, and we're going to bring you the best content. And on fight night, we will be live in the chat, me, Chris, and some others. So order the fight with PPV.com. We're going to bring you a lot of content. We do a lot of giveaways. Make sure you're following PPV.com on all socials. Make sure you're following me. Make sure you're following Chris on Twitter. That's the most important thing, is that you follow Chris on Twitter and you tweet him all day long, your thoughts on everything. Chris, how are you?
Yeah, don't even tweet Dan. Just tweet me. It'll just go into the void. No one will ever see it.
Into the abyss.
Don't tweet me. Don't DM me. Don't do anything. I don't respond. I don't care. I got a life. I got things to do.
You should open up your Twitter one day and see what's in there. Because there's a lot of like tweets that I've sent you. I made some meatballs yesterday and I tweeted.
Probably some really funny stuff on there too. But I guess if I'm bored one day, which never happens because I'm too busy. But maybe I'll check it out one day. But awesome week. I will not be out there. You will be holding it down for Team PPV and Inside Boxing Live. But sure, we're gonna do a show while you're there.
You will be in the chat though.
Yes, I will 100% be in the chat. The chat is a lot of fun. The chat has really grown on me. In the beginning, I was like, this is kind of a weird idea. This is weird. This is as in any novel idea, right? You're always like, I don't think this is going to work. But now it works, man. And boxing fans, you know, I know my buddy Paul Imanashi likes always say like that MMA fans are super dumb. Boxing fans are not. They're like, they're really, we get some really good conversations in the chat. So looking forward to the chats. Hope you guys are in there.
Yeah, that's on Saturday night. We'll be in that live interactive chat. You can ask me any question. You can ask Chris any question. You can follow along. It's a great way to watch fights. So if you're going to order the fight on this Saturday, do it with us at PPV.com. No subscriptions. Never ask you to lock in for a year. You can go fight to fight. You can stream it anywhere, any device that you got. So they are a proud presenting sponsor, and we're very thankful for them. And I can't wait to head out to San Antonio bright and early Tuesday morning for the entire week. We will get to that card at the end of the show. We're going to go over some of the storylines and the odds and that. But Chris, it is December 1st. We are in the last month of 2025. I've said this before. It's been an up and down boxing year. It's been an uneven year. We've had big events like Canelo Crawford. We've had undisputed fights like Bivol and Beterbiev. We've had some great events in between. Those ring cards come to mind. We've had some low points like the Times Square card and Canelo versus Skull, and also some very dormant times where there was no fights for long stretches at a time. A lot of that has to do with Top Rank not having a platform, PBC putting on less shows, importance of Saudi Arabia, the dependence of Saudi Arabia, I should say, to put on fights. And I'm looking for a big 2026, and we will have our year-end show at the end of the month. But it's Fighter of the Year season. It's the holiday season, and it's Fighter of the Year season, Chris. And it's a very fun debate on boxing Twitter and the boxing social media. Who deserves the 2025 Fight of the Year? Fighter of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I can't believe it's December already. It's crazy. I got to get my tux pressed for our year-end special.
Well, I just realized I might be in San Juan for the Serrano fight. So I started looking up tux t-shirts.
Ah, I have one. I'll send you one.
Is that okay?
Yeah, yeah. If you got to travel, you can't travel with. Actually, just travel with the Tux, dude.
We are wearing suits on New Year's Eve, me and the MVP crew.
Okay. All right. So actually, you can wear a suit. You can wear a Tux jacket on New Year's Eve.
Tux jacket on New Year's Eve because I can't pack three suits to San Juan. I have my suit for fight night.
Yeah, the shiny lapel for a tuxedo jacket with whatever outfit you're wearing, that works. I'm just saying.
Well, the only Tux I have, I bought in 2015 for a wedding, and I've packed on some pounds since then. I actually tipped the scales the other day, and I saw a number I hadn't seen ever.
Are you going to say the number?
184 pounds.
Whoa! I was going to ask if there was an 8 in there. Wow, damn.
I'm a cruiserweight.
Wow. That's not good, bro. You're 10 pounds heavier than I've ever been in my entire life. That's wild.
What?
I've never broken 180 ever. I've never even seen 175 before. That's crazy, dude.
I got to make some changes.
Wow. Dude, you've been.
I don't know if you saw this on my social media. We had the great Unk race.
I did see that. That didn't go great for you.
Me versus my three brothers, the Canobio brothers.
Pretty fast, huh? Or maybe it's just those extra pounds you got.
Yeah. Nick Canobio, who is a producer of this show, won the race by a large, large distance.
And he's a big dude. He's like 200 pounds, right? 200 pounds?
Yeah, he's stocky. He's a stocky, built guy, and he burst out of the gate, left me in the dust. I had some real, real thinking to do.
And he's a father of how many? He's got three kids. Yeah, dude. That baggage should be slowing him down. You should be able to beat this guy, but no.
I'm a cruiserweight anyway.
Dude, New Year's. All right. We're talking about Fighter of the Year because the New Year's coming up and the end of this year is coming. You got to get some New Year's resolutions going, buddy.
Drop 10 pounds.
10 pounds. You got to get under 75, man.
Yeah, I'm going to hit you up on the after the show and get a quick ways to burn fat.
Yeah,
I'll do drugs. You got drugs? I'll do drugs.
I know you will.
I am not above doing drugs.
Yes. Whether they're performance enhancing, aesthetic enhancing, it doesn't matter. Performance doesn't matter for you. It's just for going back to college days. But I'm sorry, but I digress. Let's go back to Fighter of the Year discussion. I just really went off on a tangent there. Who do we got in the running? Obviously, Terrence Crawford, top of the list. Haney, in a way. Definitely Benavidez. Always up there. Benavidez.
Amat Roach, if he didn't get the draw. Stephen Fulton.
I can't have Lamont on there. I love the guy.
Virgil Ortiz
is on an absolute tear, but Fighter of the Year opposition isn't there. Yes, he's got the Madrimov fight, which is great. Was Bohochek this fight as year as well?
Madrimov was this year.
So Bohochek was not. So yeah. So his biggest win was the Madrimov fight. He blasted out Lubin. I can't have that. In a way for sure.
Fabio Wardley.
I'm
naming candidates because to be nominated is, I think, a very nice feather in the cap.
But you opened the show with this year being a little up and down, and we had some divots, some potholes to traverse. So we're gonna get some guys on there that probably in other stronger years wouldn't be in the discussion.
Right.
Even we're talking about like this isn't Inoue's best year, but it's still Inoue and he keeps busy and he's
dude fought four times.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
No one else fought more than twice.
No top level guys do that. We're talking about Terrence Crawford, like he's at the top of the list and he's fought once.
Yeah, 2025 Fighter of the Year. Is Crawford's one win over Canelo more impressive than Inoue's four undisputed title defenses or Bam's two stoppages or Wardley's two comeback wins or Virgil Ortiz's year or what Benavidez has done? I'm leaning yes.
Short answer, yes.
Like Crawford, I don't want to reward someone for fighting once. And when you get to the age of Crawford and everything he's accomplished, once or twice, yes. Usyk only fought once this year, and he had to win over Dubois. He's not even on this list. But I have a hard time rewarding a guy who only fights once, giving him that Fighter of the Year prestigious honor. But in this case, it's quality over quantity. Because second, the runner-up is going to be Inoue. At least I think so. Because, he had some good wins and he fought four times. Like, that should be rewarded. But Terrence Crawford.
The year's not over. 12-27 is when Inoue fights his last fight. So if he goes out there and he blitzes Picasso, which would be impressive, you know, is it still, I mean, it gets him closer to Crawford, but I still don't think it overtakes him. I don't think it overtakes Crawford's accomplishment.
Maybe gets him some second place votes. Inoue beat MJ Akpadaliev. He beat
in a forgettable fight.
Cardenas, which was fight of the year.
That was awesome. Yeah.
But he was a heavy favorite and he went down.
Right.
Yujun Kim, that was a blowout. That was the beginning of the year. That was a fight that was supposed to happen in December. Or no, that was supposed to be a that was a replacement fighter for, I think, someone who got hurt.
Yeah, it was for Sam Goodman.
Sam Goodman. So Yijun Kim, not championship level. Cardenas, who has proved to be championship level now. And Akhmadaliyev, who many believe is the second best in the weight class and were calling for Inoue to fight. There were even some rumblings that Inoue was ducking MJ and he 12-0s him, you know, wins practically every minute of the fight. So he would be second. But Terence Crawford will win 2025 Fighter of the Year. I would have to ask Lee Groves, a wonderful CompuBox researcher and punch counter, has there ever been a fighter that won Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year and only fought one time?
I would not be surprised, because the weight of certain victories are huge. And a lot of times when guys win big fights, they don't stay active. They go and celebrate and stay off. And also a lot of those big time fights is a lot of prep for it. A lot of prep in terms of marketing, a lot of training. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. And then you have Haney, who had two wins. The Ramirez win was forgettable.
Forgettable. It's
and
a
then
nice
the Norman win
it.
Was impressive. Benavidez had the win over Morel. Very impressive. Followed it up with a very nice destruction, a mugging, if you will, over Anthony Yard. Stephen Fulton, who still has work to do this weekend, could potentially pick up belts in two different weight classes. Should he beat Oshaki Foster? Because he also won another belt over
Brandon Figueroa.
The heartbreaker. Yeah. And then, like I said, Lamont Roach. This could be so different for Lamont Roach. His life could be so much different if Steve Willis knew what he was doing that night. And Steve Willis did the right thing. And that was Toronto Davis's knee touched the ground, touched the canvas. Roach gets the W. That's a good debate here. Roach's win over Tank or Crawford's win over Canelo? If we're going... We're going mano a mano. We're going one for one here.
I mean, 16-1 underdog for Roach to come out on top is crazy.
The Crawford odds were practically, what were they, 2-1? Or almost even.
A little wider than that.
Was it?
No, was it?
Went the other way.
Maybe it closed closer, you're right.
Whatever, it was a lot closer than 16-1.
Yeah, but I mean, the issue or the discussion point for the Crawford-Canelo fight is, it's two top flight guys. Lamont, you know, he's got the underdog story, sure, the upset, which is great. I was 16-1 when I beat Ruslan. You know, he was 16-1 when he had the draw with Gervonta. But it doesn't – to go from – I don't want to say unknown, because Roach wasn't necessarily unknown, but not at this level, to fighter of the year off of one victory, that's tough. If he goes out there and he you know, beats Cruz badly, stops Cruz – you know, then I think he's more in the discussion. But right now, just off the draw off Gervonta, I don't think so. And if it was just the win, I still lean Canelo Crawford. It's just because it's just too big of a fight.
Yeah, Crawford. I'm not trying to diminish Crawford here, because that's kind of what it seems like.
I think you're not trying to diminish him, but you're trying to open up the discussion, because it's like it's so obviously Crawford.
I'm trying to build a case for any of these other guys. And like in years past, we've had a little more of a competitive field here. But like I said, uneven year. A lot of guys only fought once. You know, Bivol only fought once because he had a back injury, but he beat Beterbiev. I mean,
revenge fight too. That's big.
You got to put him in this list as well. I forgot to put him in there. But you have
the Fulton one is interesting. He wins. He wins. He might slide into number two. He might beat out Inoue.
I don't know. Does Ring, like, I guess Ring Magazine Fighter of the Year is like the main, that's the main winner. That's like, I know everyone does their own awards. We do our own awards, but I love to see like the actual voting and how it breaks down. Like MLB has MVP voting, and you can see like Cal Raleigh, who came in second to Aaron Judge. It was very close. Like he had a tremendous amount of first place votes I think he only won by a handful of votes. I would love to see the breakdown here, because I think Crawford's going to win Fighter of the Year, which he deserves for his one win over Canelo. But two, like, in a way, if, it depends on how he wins. Fulton depends on if he wins. If Roach blows out Cruz, he has an arguable win slash draw over Tank, and then a win in another weight class. You have Bivol, who only fought once, but conquered Beterbiev and handed him his first career loss. So there's a lot of discussions here. It makes you think about the year in full. I wish we got more fights, because a guy like Teofimo only fought once. Canelo fought. I'm not even counting the skull fight. Canelo fought once this year. That skull fight was atrocious. So
well, we need to see these guys fight. What worst fight of the year was? You know, fight of the year is one thing, but we had a worst fight of the year. Best fight of the year, worst fight of the year. Worst fight of the year, probably Canelo's skull.
Would you say worst, like, mainstream fight? Like, worst fight that everyone knew about? Because there are some horrible fights that go across the country and globe almost on a daily basis. Probably one going on right now in the country that we don't know about.
Haney Ramirez is high up on there. That fight sucked, too.
The whole card. Ryan versus Rolly was a crappy fight.
It was funny because, like, the Tio Barboza fight, like, you're watching it and you're like, you know, I left a little, you know, good performance by Tio. That became the best fight in the card by a lot.
Did Rolly Romero only fight once this year?
Yeah.
What is going on? Like, these are perfectly healthy fighters in their
prime. These guys in their 20s shouldn't be fighting as many times a year as Manny Pacquiao. Let's put it that way. Manny Pacquiao fought once this year.
You can't even, like, for Teofimo, he has a big win over Barboza, which didn't come until May. Doesn't fight again. I get it. They're negotiating, or they're about to announce this Shakur.
Well, the Haney
fight
was supposed to happen. That was supposed to be in the, what was that?
Right.
September.
A lot of it said him getting shot in the foot, you know, shooting himself in the foot, I should say. And then now the Shakur fight is going to materialize, so he's not going to take a fight at the end of the year. His promoter, you can't even blame Top Rank, because, you know, these Top Rank fighters are out here fighting on
anywhere.
All other cards.
Anywhere, yep.
So for, like, Rolly to fight once this year, to come off the Ryan Garcia win and not capitalize off it, for Teofimo to fight once, got Bivol, I'm giving a benefit of the doubt because he was injured. Usyk is just old and has done so much that, like, I don't expect them to carry it. Like, I don't expect Usyk to carry it. Crawford.
Oh, we didn't even mention Usyk. Yikes.
Yeah, but he only had one win over Dubois. It was an awesome win. Like,
Like, most of the guys on the list only had one win, and they were just really good wins.
Yeah, but Usyk, yeah, he'll be in the discussion. Like, he'll get a few votes, but Usyk's one win over Dubois. If we're going to go by the one win crew, Crawford's Canelo. One win over Canelo, Bivol's one win over Benavidez, Beterbiev, and then Usyk's one win over Dubois. If we're going one win crew, which I don't even want to, we shouldn't be shining a light on them, but they're old, and they're not to be expected to be carrying the sport. But is it too much to ask for Crawford, Usyk, and some of these other elder statesmen to fight twice a year?
Well, I mean, listen, the face of the sport has always been guys that had the May-September date, right? If that Floyd, it was De La Hoya before him. They did the May-September. So you got two fights a year. But then in recent years, we're getting guys that are fighting much less. Crawford is a one-a-year guy since, I think, 2020, pretty much. And it's not good for the sport when that happens. But more than knocking those guys, I'm knocking the guys in their 20s who are not busy. The Teofimo Lopez, the Rolly Romeros, the Ryan Garcia. Well, Ryan gets his out of the ring troubles, but
he was suspended for half a year.
I can't. Not being busy is not his fault. It is his fault, but in that case, I think we end up. But regardless, all discussion points go back to Crawford Canelo. Crawford is the fighter of the year.
Crawford is the fighter of the year. This was an exercise to see who else can be in it. Not diminishing anything that Crawford did, because he did the unthinkable. He went up two weight classes. He took down Canelo Alvarez.
The money train.
Again, the money. He made a lot of money. And this is the one time I will say, quality. God, I always mess that up. Quality over quantity for Terrence Crawford. My guess is he will be the 2025 Fighter of the Year. And he deserves it. Let's get over to... You have any other last thoughts on the Fighter of the Year?
Nope.
Yeah, we're going to have to do our... Don't forget, our big year-end show is weeks away. So get your calendars ready. We will have cigars. We will have trophies. We will have tuxedos. We champagne. Do it every year.
martinis.
Champagne. I might be in Puerto Rico. It's crazy. I don't want to be that old head. It's like, man, time is flying, but time is freaking flying.
That you just jumped right over Unklin, right to OG. That's an OG talk. Man. It
really is.
Time is flying.
Time ain't what it used to be.
Back in my day. Time is flying. Once you start saying like back in my day, oof.
Back in my day. I just feel like it's always the first of the month and rent is due.
Dude, rent is always due, bro. Rent is always due.
I'm so sorry to everyone out there. I just reminded you, if you haven't paid your rent, it's due today. Let's get into December boxing, since it is December 1st. It's a pretty good month. November was pretty good. We said November and December was going to be pretty loaded. We got the December 6th card. Like we said, Roach versus Pitbull, Foster versus Fulton, Janet Beck versus Lauer, Shane Mosley Jr. versus Jesus Ramos is also on that card. That's an eliminator at middleweight. Great card. We have Jaya Opetaia versus Sin Cara. Opetaia guy, I'm very getting frustrated with him, losing patience with Jaya Opetaia. Could Benavidez's move to Cruiser open things up? Could be get a nice little trifecta between Benavidez, Zerto, Opetaia? Hope so. Pulev versus Gassayev. Pacheco versus Sadjo. That card is on December 13th in Stockton, California, kind of near where you were this weekend over in Northern California.
Lovely. I was in Fresno. Lovely, lovely place. Great people. Really good fight fans, but not a whole lot going on over there. Yeah, slow moving, slow living. But Yosemite is over there, so that's cool.
Yosemite Sam not fighting in December. Diego Pacheco headlining a card December 13th in Stockton, which is a matchroom move. That's an interesting move. Scott Nicholson on that card. Gabe Flores on that card. Did you see Devin Haney put out a tweet that Scott Nicholson is the most boring fighter he's ever seen?
Devin said that? Haney? Oh, wow.
I'm not going to get into the meaning behind that, but everyone out there can figure it out. That
is a brilliant rage bait tweet.
Rage bait tweet.
That's well done, sir. He's become quite media savvy because that's going to get a lot of.
He's on the Devin Haney victory tour right now.
He's also on the Devin Haney bad guy heel victory, a villain tour. He's like, all right,
anything he should turn it up. I think.
Yeah, I agree. And it seems
crank
like
it up. He's on like a with that tweet. He was on like a 7.5. Crank that shit up to 10.
Yeah, let's go to bring it up. Bring it up. Yeah, I agree. Go in. Go hard.
December 13th. Then we have our guy, Norito Donaire, is fighting for the title against Tsutsumi in Japan. Did you not know that?
No.
Yeah, man. He's in the Philippines right now. Norito Donaire is in the Philippines training. Wow. And then he's going to fly over to Japan any day now and get acclimated there to fight for the world title.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
I mean, he's what? He's my age, right? 42? 42. Yeah, wow. Good God. God bless him. He's
in tremendous shape.
Special human being.
He's 43.
So he's even older than me.
I work with him at MVP. I hang out with him on the road. It's unreal. Sometimes I go, oh my God, I'm in an Uber with one of my boxing heroes. Like, oh my God, I'm drinking with one of my boxing heroes. Oh my God, it's 3 a.m. and I'm smoking cigars with one of my boxing heroes, Norito Donaire. And
then you wake up the next day and you're like, oh my God, I am so hungover and exhausted. And look, there's Norito Donaire having a cigar. It's 7 a.m.
That's dancing. The guy he's immune. He's always in shape. First of all, he takes his shirt off everywhere he goes. So I've been able to see how in shape he is. Since I've known him for the last 3 years, he's probably around 130, 135. So
yeah, he's fighting at the weight that he competed at when he was in his prime, and he's 43 years old. Amazing.
He's fighting Seiya Tsutsumi, who's 12-0 with 3 draws, 8 knockouts. It's for the WBA title. I don't know where it's streaming. I will be watching.
What's the date on that? You.
That's December 17th. I want to say.
We should do a watch party.
God.
For our guy.
I love that man. I love that man. I hope everything comes through.
I'm going to be on vacation that day.
All right. So you're not going to do that. But we'll be watching.
No.
Tim Zhu comes back this month fighting Velasquez, with a new trainer and a new team.
He's with Pedro Diaz, I've heard.
Tim Zhu, yep.
Is that confirmed?
The thing I like about Zhu is he's going to keep going for it.
Yes.
He ain't stopping.
God bless him. He is ballsy. He will not take no for an answer.
Well, this is his almost like last chance saloon here. Pedro Diaz, yeah.
So are they training in Miami, or is Pedro traveling and training with Zhu elsewhere?
I hope that he's in Miami. It says that he's in Miami.
Okay, so yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, get out of Australia. I think
Pedro has his own like training facility and setup. He's got a very specific setup that he has down in Miami. So, I mean, but listen, Zhu's probably big enough that he would travel for, but I think it's better for Zhu to get out and get into, hostile territory.
This is it for him. This is the last. You would think this is the last. He'll always have Australia, and he could probably fight in those Australian pay-per-views forever. I mean, that fight is in Australia.
all of the Australian fighters always did that. Danny Green, I'm drawing a blank on a bunch. Anthony Mundine. They fought forever into their mid-40s, headlining cards in Australia. Who was the other one? The one that Pacquiao beat.
Jeff Horn.
I mean, yeah, but that beat Pacquiao. Jeff Horn, he's another one. He's out there just fighting fights in Australia. Those guys, they have such a built-in fan base. It's great. When you're on an island a giant continent that's so far from absolutely everything, you're your own orbit.
They love their boxing, the Aussies, and it's hard for them to have any other fight, so they kind of like just do their own thing and just keep rolling out the same names. Tim Zhu's back. Then we have, obviously, Anthony Joshua versus Jake Paul this month. December 19th on Netflix in Miami. Did you see Jake is sparring with some heavy hitters at heavyweight?
I saw that. I love they put the post where they had him when he was preparing for Tank. He had all the top flight lightweight guys. And then now he's sparring for Anthony Joshua, and he's got a murderer's row of heavyweights. So good for him putting in the work, man. That's he's doing the work.
Yeah, I did a little side by side. For the Tank fight, he had Shakur, he had Ray Ford, and he had Keyshawn Davis, and he posted that picture. And then a couple of weeks later, he's got Jared Anderson, Frank Sanchez, and Martin Piccoli. And a lot of people pointed out, look at the different facial expressions on Jake's face versus the lightweights. He looks like he barely has been touched. Who knows? The photo could have been taken before the sparring session. I did some investigative journalism here. I saw some sweat on the other guys, so this is probably the end of it. Then you go over to the heavyweight picture. You zoom in on Jake's face. He looks like he went 30 rounds.
Yeah.
He looks toasted.
Haggard.
Which is, Chris, you can attest to this better than anybody. That's what you want out of sparring, correct?
Sparring should be hard. You should be tested. Especially with a guy who's under 30 years of age, you should be sparring really hard. And it's. I don't know. I had this conversation over the weekend when we were on set, or last week when we were on set. For the Netflix movie, gotta plug that again. Fight for 84. Gotta plug it.
Plug it.
And we're talking about the difference between boxing sparring and kickboxing sparring and MMA sparring, and how in boxing sparring, it's a fight. Guys are just going harder with more padding on. You're wearing headgear and you got bigger gloves, but for the most part, you are fighting, and it's super high level. It's super intense. Other combat sports aren't like that. A lot of times, like Muay Thai, they basically just move around together and they go very, very slow.
They wear a lot of the body gear.
Yeah, they wear a lot of the body gear, but also they're just not throwing, like, they're not full blast. They're not looking to try to knock people out. Boxing, you're trying to knock guys out. You're trying to knock out your sparring partners. MMA, there's a lot of, like, point sparring and touch sparring, because there's so many ways to get injured in that sport. But when it comes to boxing, no, it is hard, and it needs to be, because the intensity level on fight night is like that. So if you don't mirror that at least a little bit, if you don't walk in those footsteps, you're not going to feel comfortable on fight night. And Jake, especially, because this is a whole new territory for him, he needs to be in tough, tough sparring with big physical guys. And it seems like he's doing that.
Yeah, I had some, people underneath that tweet saying a lot of things like, oh, this guy's doing it for clout. Look at these fighters that are willing to show up. Look what money can buy. And I'm just like, oh man, there's just such a disconnect between fans when it comes to sparring and sparring. I don't even know a lot about it. Like, I know a little bit from being around you, being around a lot of fighters. There's a big disconnect between sparring etiquette, sparring culture, like, yes, you have to pay these guys to be there. They're not doing it out of the good of their heart. Like, yes, they are getting great exposure in this case with Jake, like to get the clout, so to say. But a lot of times it's to get in really good work. You get paid. Like Benavidez famously pays his sparring partners a very good amount of money. Like you have to pay for your sparring partners. So yeah, of course Jake is going to pay these guys to give him quality rounds. Another thing too is that you're putting in a lot of work. Like you have 30 or 40 fights in your career, right? But how many rounds do you spend in the gym sparring that doesn't get seen? And that's where the damage comes, I believe. Not to get dark, but that's where the damage comes in boxing.
Yeah, very often so. And, you know, listen, I used to fly my sparring partners in. I'd put them up, and they were on a weekly stipend. I would pay them every Friday. They would get paid when I was in my big camps. So don't be at the, oh, they're going to do it for money. Yeah, no, that's part of what being a sparring partner is. I got paid to be a sparring partner one time. It was for Marcos Maidana. It was the first camp we did, and it was like, a couple $100, whatever. But it was such good work and so important for me. That was the only time I ever got paid for sparring.
Wait, so you sparred Maidana.
Maidana, yeah.
Maidana. For, as he was getting ready for.
I forgot which, it was three, I did three camps with him. So
that's still cool.
Yeah. And the first time they kind of like brought me in and they changed my schedule and whatever. And like, and you know, my coach was like, well, if they're changing your schedule, like they got to pay you something. And I was just like, I don't really care. You know,
is
like,
that to mess with you?
I was broke anyway. No. They're just changing my schedule. Meaning not in a bad way. They're just like, this is the time that he trains. You're going to be basically on his team now. So you got to train at this time. Cause Robert Garcia has the way everything's set up in a certain way. You've got kind of like general population and that's when those guys train. And then you got the stars and the stars train up, you know, different times on their own.
That makes sense.
So I got moved up into Marcos Maidana's star camp, you know, early on. So I was a different time. So my trainer was like, well, if they're changing your times and you're doing things around them, like they should be paying you. But then in the camps after that, I was just like, this is just great work. And I'm here anyway. I'm paying to be here and I'm getting good work.
You're getting paid to be there and you're getting on the job training from
the pay that I was. Again, it was only one camp I got any kind of money and it didn't really pay for anything. So it wasn't even that. So it wasn't like I was getting paid there. But when I was a fighter and I was the A guy and I was the world-class guy, I was bringing guys in, I was paying them and I paid them well, make sure that they came up prepared. You know, they woke up
every morning with some incentive.
Yeah, some vigor. You got to come, you know, don't come here hungover. Don't come here because you're out all night and now you're tired and then you're going to, you know, but also don't come here trying to headbutt me or fight dirty or be, you know, elbow or do stupid things like that. Cause guys do that too. And that's a lot of times the guys are like, yeah, I was only there for 1 week. They kicked me out of camp cause I was too good. Yeah. Or maybe you're a dickhead and you're hitting them low and you're headbutting and you're in the way that you moved was very awkward and weird. And everyone's afraid that you were going to cause a cut that was going to end this whole situation. So maybe it wasn't that you were too good. Maybe it's cause you are a dick and that's why you got kicked out of camp. So
I'm going to do something. I'm going to do some this week in San Antonio. I'm going to do some sparring stories.
Sparring, that's a good culture, just sparring.
I always said this on the show. The fans don't understand it. The part you don't see. It's the part that's the only private part of a boxer's life, or it should be private. A lot of guys start filming it, but we always get like little crumbs, like, oh, this sparring session was leaked on YouTube, or we heard about Mayweather's, you know, legendary sparring sessions where the guys fight for 15 minutes in a row and then the Nevada commission had to come in and shut it down. Or we hear about Paulie and McGregor getting flown in the day of and pretty much came off the flight and gets roughed up by McGregor. And then he's still talking about it to this day. Or you have Fundora, who, this is like a cool story. His dad built huts on their property.
Yeah,
for, very cool. Not huts, but like houses for the sparring partners.
I've had sparring partners live with me. I've flown guys in and they lived with me in my house. Like
I find it super interesting.
You should definitely do that. Add that to your bag of things to ask fighters. Tell me your best sparring story.
Yeah. Or just like, not just the sparring part, just like the culture. Like what's the most you've ever paid? Like, you know, how many guys have you brought in? Like stuff like that.
Well, you should talk to professional sparring partners and guys who are like known for being those guys. Cause there's guys, there are guys that are like,
that's like journeyman.
Yeah, a lot of times they're journeymen. A lot of times, like, I'm trying to think of some guys off the top of my head that are like, speaking of, so the Paulie Malignaggi McGregor, I think Deshaun Johnson was in there. Was that his name?
Paulie brought it back up again.
I'm mixing up names, so don't hold me to that. But yeah, no, there are guys out there that are like, they make a big part of their money is being a sparring partner.
Makes sense. It's unlike any other sport. You're not a batting practice pitcher lobbing them in like you're giving rounds. Yeah, so December 19th, Jake Paul gets in there. Alicia Bumgarner is on this card. We got Anderson Silva versus Tyron Woodley, if you're into that. We got Trinica Johnson going against Amanda Gale. That is an undisputed fight, women's fight. And then it's a pretty good card. A lot of women's undisputed fights on it as well. That's December 19th. Then we have that card out in Saudi with Inoue, Picasso, Nakatani's on that card, Taraji versus Perez. So pretty good month, December. It's we got something every weekend. And we have some names, we have some important fights, we have some spectacles. All eyes will be on Paul Joshua, December 19th, Inoue fights this month. So I'd say it's a pretty solid month. We're ending the year strong. We talked about how uneven the year has been, but November and December, I think, have been pretty solid.
Yeah, August and September, other than the island that was Crawford Canelo, was really slow. October was starting to rev up. November's been good. December's going to be great. So I'm not mad about the way this year is coming to a close.
Over to this weekend's fights. Wasn't the busiest weekend. It was Thanksgiving weekend, usually the case. Ben Whitaker got a first round stoppage over Ben Gavazzi, who was on paper looked at as a step up. He came into this fight 19-1 with 13 knockouts. But if you come back a little bit, if you went through that box wreck, you could see those 19 wins. Did not come against top-tier opponents. But Whitaker blows him out, does what he's supposed to do in one round. He's signed with Matchroom now. He's got Eddie Hearn behind him. He's got the Olympic pedigree. He's got the clout for all the showboating, which you may like, which you may not like. And then the whole Liam Cameron. The antics. And then the whole Liam Cameron debacle. This guy's definitely got something going. Like, he's very talented, and he also has haters. And it's a recipe that Matchroom thinks that they could churn into the next big UK star and also fight here. They're talking about bringing him to the States next year. Like, I really, your thoughts on Whitaker all around.
I agree with Matchroom. I think that the kid is, one, he's obviously super talented and athletic. He's big for the weight class, tall, long, great frame. Obviously, he's got the pedigree, you know, from the amateur pedigree. The antics, he sells, he talks, he's good looking. The kid's got it all.
Yeah.
The only thing that makes me pause is that first Liam Cameron fight when he got himself out of that fight. He was uncomfortable. It wasn't going his way. Yeah. He wanted out of that fight. And other than that, dude, the guy's got it all. If that was just a momentary hiccup, which I don't think it is. I don't think anything ever is just a momentary hiccup. I think it tells deeper into your soul what's going on. But listen, it'll be really fun until that shows itself again, because the guy is very entertaining, and he can punch. He's fast. He's got good technique. Great reactions. I mean, that knockout was brutal and scary. I agree with Matchroom. I think that he has a very high ceiling, and he would do well over here stateside.
Yeah, I was pretty excited to hear that they were going to bring him over to the States. And I know what Matchroom's going to do is they're going to put – February, they're going to step him up, probably be in the UK. And then they'll put him on one of these big cards that Matchroom does over here in the States. Like, Eddie Hearn is going to be the promoter of note for Teofimo versus Shakur, which should be announced any moment now.
Yeah, that's news.
And Eddie Hearn is the promoter on behalf of Riyadh Season. So,
why are they trickling out that announcement? Why are we talking about it, and it's still not like I'm like, oh, that fight's happening, but no, it's not. It's not set. It's not out. It's not. What are we doing?
I bet you they have a date, and they've had a date. Like, I know Shakur's in camp. He already tweeted over the weekend, no Thanksgiving this year.
Does he ever not in camp? Does he leave camp? I feel like he's always in camp.
Yeah, I know. He's always training. And I would not be shocked if they had a date. And I would not be shocked if it's this January 31st one. And it's been the date for months. I don't know what the holdup is. I have no clue. Like, Eddie's promoting it. Like, who else is on the card?
And that's not a move that Eddie really does either. It's not like to trickle.
It's not a Matchroom. It's not technically a Matchroom show. If it was a Matchroom show, Eddie would have been all over the place. But it seems like Turkey said, Eddie, you're promoting this fight in the States. And that's the type of fight that I could see them putting Whitaker on the card. Like, I don't know this for sure, but, you know, Matchroom does big shows here in the U.S. They don't do a lot of them, but they do some big ones. And they could put Whitaker on there and showcase him there. But he's 28 years old. We talked about the amateur career. He won silver at the 2020 Olympics. in comparison, Benavides is 28 years old, and look at all Benavides has done, but they've had different trajectories that have had different careers. Point remains, Whitaker's not a kid. Like, he's not some 21, 22-year-old kid. So how should he be moved? Because there's a lot of names are being thrown out in the day after this knockout.
Fast. He should be moved fast. Because
like top 10 guys, or like Craig Richard versus Dan and Z's winner, Willie Hutchinson's of the world. Like 175, I will say this about the weight class. It's very top heavy. I'm going to say Benavides is still in it. Benavides, Beterbiev, Bivol at the top. But then you have a lot of names that are really tough and will give this guy round. Exactly what Ben Whitaker needs is at 175.
Willie Hutchinson's tough. That's a really tough fight. That might be one step above where he should be looking next, but he's very close. Like, next year, he should fight a guy like that.
Hutchinson beat Richards.
Yeah. Craig Richards.
Decision to Buatsi.
Craig Richards is a great fight for our boy Whitaker. We're talking about. Whitaker, for Ben Whitaker. I think that's because Craig Richards is tough. He's rough. He's physically strong. You spend rounds with him, you really got to be on your P's and Q's, and you got to be on the whole night. He went the distance with Dmitry Bivol. You know, he went at it with Buatsi. Yeah, that's a logical next fight.
That's a big one. That's a step up. Like,
yeah, I think like a Craig Richards, Dan Azeez type. Maybe the loser.
Each other. Did you know?
Yeah,
that?
Maybe the loser of that fight should be Ben's next fight. Like, and then maybe you go for the winner or a Willie Hutchinson type.
Well, said he wants to fight four times next year.
Then I think he should have a fight with a guy of the Willie Hutchinson level before the end of next year.
You know, we always say Top Rank, best matchmakers. Top Rank knows how to move a star. Yeah. Matchroom's pretty damn good at it too.
Absolutely. Yes.
They haven't made too many stars in a while. It's just because it's the nature of the beast, but they know what they're doing when they have a talent. And Whitaker is definitely a talent. So a Richards Azeez winner, they're fighting each other on December 20th in Nigeria. And then you have the Willie Hutchinsons out there. And then if you go into the top 10 at 175, the bottom of the top 10, Anthony Yard, I wouldn't be shocked if he never laces him up again after the beating that he took against Benavides, and he's made a lot of money.
I think he'll fight again. I think there's a lot of domestic dust-ups for him to fight.
We'll take some time, Yard. He's not in the discussion, I don't think. I'm taking him out of the discussion for Whitaker. David Morrell is not fighting Ben Whitaker anytime soon. Iman Khatayev, who went life and death with Morrell.
Stay away from him. That guy's up. Beast.
Buatsi's name got thrown out a lot.
That's a tough fight. Buatsi's a really tough fight.
That's too much too soon.
Too much too soon. End it next year. I could see Buatsi.
That could be the end. Yeah, if he fights four times, if he fights Hutchinson. Yeah,
that could be his last fight next year. But that's what I'm saying. He should be moved this fast. This is what I'm saying. Like,
well, yeah, 20. I had people saying, oh, come on. Like, that's too soon. Like, I don't think people understand that he's 28. I don't think people understand that. He's
an Olympic silver medalist. You know how fast those guys move? Like, he needs to be on the fast track.
Yeah, but it's also a business. And Matchroom, they have grand aspirations. The way they're talking about this guy, they're saying, we think that he can fill stadiums one day. And we know how lucrative that is over in the UK. Like, yeah. This is a prize. This is like a stock. Like, they have to take care of it. They can't just, you know, put him in there with some of these big names. But, yeah, he's really good. And,
I mean, if you believe in your guy and he's the goods, you can. You can.
Yeah, Matchroom, they'll do the right thing, and they'll step him up. But it's gonna be interesting to watch because he's definitely got some juice, and people over here know him, mostly because of the antics. Like, it's really like a lightning rod recipe. This guy, he's got he's really good. So you're like, oh wow, this is an Olympian, and then you see him doing the stuff in the ring that we've never seen before—the dancing around. Styling on a guy with like 20 losses, which
I didn't love that. Yeah,
I hated that, and I got like ripped because I hated it. It was like, come on, man, we need that showbo. And our friend Ariel Helwani loved it, and I've gotten to arguments with him over that. You have that, then you have the Liam Cameron, like the quitting allegations. This has all happened in the last like 2 years for the guy, so you're gonna have like there's a lot of juice around this guy, there's a lot of buzz in boxing that's very much needed. So it's interesting to see. He's at 175. And one thing he did bring up a lot this week, Chris, was Benavidez is his name. And I found
it
interesting.
I saw that.
Like, you know, marketing 101, promotion 101, bring up the big dog. You know, Benavidez probably isn't in the weight class anymore. But I don't hate him bringing up Benavidez' name. But also, like, it just set himself up for people to be like, well, Benavidez's next fight is probably going to be a cruiserweight.
I'm doing a quick search. I'm comparing another British silver medalist, and that is Amir Khan. And the way that he was moved in his first 3 years, and he was very busy, very, very busy. And he was fighting some tough guys with some good records, kind of similar to Ben Whitaker, but he was 17-0 by the end of his third year. And, you know, Ben's
10-0,
10-0-1. So
it's a different world though. You know, this
true, very, very true. Very true. But also he was another lightning rod guy and big, big, amateur pedigree and like fantastic. And this is where I'm actually going to give, you know, more, I'm a steel man, your argument. Right around this time is when he got knocked out by Brandis Prescott.
Oof.
So was it too much too soon?
Or was it because, that chin of Mears?
Well, it exposed the chin, right? Just like I was saying, exposed, yeah. What could be a little bit of a front runner in Ben Whitaker in the fight with Liam Cameron.
Dude, he was losing that fight.
100% was losing that fight. But I'll put it this way too, though. 6 months after the loss to Brandis Prescott, he beats him Marco Antonio Barrera. So they were still pushing and moving him, you know, to be that guy. So I know they're dealing with him with kid gloves, maybe because you look at an Amir Khan type. But guess what? It still worked out for Amir Khan. He was still a global superstar who made a ton of money and went on to have a very illustrious career even after that knockout loss.
Yeah, I would say, like, if he bring up Benavidez, and then I would, like, target maybe some of the guys that Benavidez has beat at 175, but I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be the names that we listed, and then it's going to be a gradual build-up. He's going to fight in the U.S. on a big card next year. He's going to fight in the U.K. on a big card over there. But we need stars. We need people to talk about, and Whitaker definitely has the makings of a star. All right, so we're heading over to San Antonio this week. I'm heading out Tuesday morning. It's a big card on PPV.com. It's a quadruple header with Lamont Roach and Isak Cruz at the top of it. Oshaki Foster versus Fulton, I believe, is the people's main event. That's for a title at 130. We have Jana Beck versus Arislandi Lara for the middleweight crown, middleweight unification.
Important fight.
Hugely important with Crawford looming over that one. And then we have Jesus Ramos versus Shane Mosley Jr., which is a
sneaky good fight.
Well, should open the show and create some fireworks to get things going. I think the top fight is Lamont Roach and his campaign now at 140, and he went from 130 as a champion there to 135, fighting Tank Fight, which turned him into a star overnight. And now he's headlining a pay-per-view against Isak Cruz. Let's see the odds on this.
Let's talk betting. I got some money in my pocket. It's burning a hole, Dan. I need to go throw some money at something. Burning a hole in my pocket. I got to throw some money around.
Isak Cruz is a plus 180 underdog.
That's about right.
And Lamont Roach is a minus 235. So this is a pretty nice, on the odds at least, type of main event. There are some people out there that believe that Isak Cruz will walk through Lamont Roach. There are people out there that believe that Isak Cruz is tailor-made for Lamont Roach. There are people out there that still don't believe in Lamont Roach. But he is the favorite in this fight. At minus
I will say this. If you are thinking Isak Cruz, put that money on now because the Mexican late money is going to come in soon. This week it's going to be
coming. Yeah, I see that the ticket sales are doing really well.
I'm sure. Yeah, Isak Cruz is a star, dude. Like the Mexican fan base comes out for him. And it's Texas.
I love that. And he's got a bunch of losses, too. It doesn't matter.
Losses and even bad performances. It doesn't matter. He fights the way they like him to fight. And
right. You know what you're going to get with him.
Yes.
And that's a 28-3 record. Three losses came to Jose Venezuela, Gervonta Davis, and then he had a loss way back in his career back in 2016. For Lamont Roach, this could be the start of something big at 140. He's talked with Shakur Stevenson about fighting in 2026. If Shakur beats Teofimo, we could see a Roach versus Shakur fight at 140. There's a ton of names at 140. Lamont Roach, we had him on this very show 2 weeks ago, and he's very smart, just a very bright young man, and mm-hmm. is smart because he goes, I will fight at 135 and I will fight at 140. 130 is gone. So that belt's going to be relinquished. But if a fight comes, if Shakur goes back down to 135, I could fight Shakur at 135. If a belt becomes available at 135 or a title shot there, I got no problem making the weight. He says, obviously, I want to still fight at 140 and see what's available there, which are some very big names too. But I believe if Roach gets past Pitbull, he's setting himself up for a huge 2026.
Huge run. Being able to fight in either weight class is really awesome, is really smart, like you said. But there's more money at 40, way more money at 40. And it's a bunch of young killers that are profiles are smaller. Abdullah Mason, the winner of Muay Thai, and Andy Cruz. Those are three really tough fights. And
yeah,
there's
not a lot of money in those fights.
And there's not a lot of money in those fights. The Shakur Stevenson Teofimo, whether it gets the winner or the loser, big money. You've got, yeah, I think that's a really smart move on Roach's part. But I believe he's
Gary Antoine Russell.
Oof, that's a hell of a fight. That's another one. That's a tough fight that won't pay that well. Matias
Smith. That could be a PBC pay per view next year.
Dalton Smith, Matias winner is a very good fight for Lamont Roach. He's in a really good place, but dude, he's got to get past Cruz. No, I'm sure he's not, but also it's just Cruz is not an easy guy to handle. I don't care if you think he's tailor-made. It's still like it's a hard style to deal with. I've been talking to a lot of people about this style and the way that he is. He's a smaller, less powerful Ruslan Provodnikov. He's still got fast hands. He closes. He puts a lot of pressure on you. If you stand in front of him, he's a crazy heavy bag puncher. He will just rip right through you with both hands. He's got quicker hands than you expect. Closes the distance pretty well. You've got to fight a very specific kind of fight, and the pressure does not let up for 12 rounds. It's a very difficult style to deal with. It takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of conditioning, and takes a lot of physical strength because you got to deal with those guys when they get close. You got to be able to clinch them. You got to move them. You got to spin them. I think Roach is going to win. I think he has enough in the bag, but it's not going to be easy.
No, he actually had Gervonta hurt at times, and he actually was roughing up Gervonta in the clinch. Yeah. He's really good. Lamont Roach is really freaking good, and Pitbull is a really fun style. This is a really good main event. People's main event, Oshaki Foster, finally, versus Stephen Fulton. This fight was announced and moved and postponed. I love this fight, and it's pretty much even. Minus 115, Foster. Minus 110, Fulton. Fulton going up to his third weight class, trying to win a world title at 130, which is super admirable. But Foster's really good, man. Foster has got that style where he'll jab you. Well, it won't look pretty, but all of a sudden, you know, he's banking rounds. And Fulton, as we know, throws – I wouldn't say he's like your prototypical fighter at the lower weights that throws a lot of punches. He's kind of slowed down a little bit over the years. Like heading into the Inoue fight, Fulton was throwing like 100 a round. But he's now turned into more of like a technical fighter, and it's just really freaking good. This is going to be an awesome fight. This is the people's main event.
This is a fantastic fight. It may not be the most thrilling, but it's going to be highbrow stuff, super high level, boxing IQ versus boxing IQ. The weight class really, really kind of makes me think, because I love Stephen Fulton, and I think technically he's the better fighter. Not knocking Oshaki, it's just that Stephen Fulton is a fantastic high IQ fighter. But I think the size is a big thing. Oshaki is a big 30-pounder, really big 30-pounder. If he can make this fight physical, which I think is his best bet, I think he can take it. But if it's just matching wits, I wouldn't be surprised if Stephen Fulton becomes a three-division world champion. And this is a great fight.
Awesome fight. How about Janibek versus Lara? Janibek's only a minus 500 favorite. I mean, we've watched Janibek fight, or haven't watched Janibek fight, I should say, over the last couple of years, and he's been like minus 1,100, minus 1,200, minus 1,300 because he's fighting these overmatched opponents. Only minus 500 against 42-year-old, on paper, Arizlandi Lara, who's coming in as the plus 350 underdog and is a champ WBA. Janibek has two belts. This is a unification at middleweight, and the significance of this fight is that Terence Crawford could potentially be going down to 160 to fight maybe the winner of this fight. There's also talk of Crawford fighting Canelo. Crawford's in a really good spot right now. He can get paid a ton to fight Canelo. He can get paid a ton to fight at middleweight. But outside of the Crawford aspect of it, we're going to see Janabek in there with a name, and we're going to see maybe Lara finally give up that belt, which she's had for years now and hasn't really fought anyone of note.
The reason this is so close speaks more to Janabek's recent run of form in terms of who he's fought more than how really close this fight is. Because it's really because Janabek hasn't really been fighting anybody of note. This is a name guy, a noteworthy guy, a guy who's been, like you said, champion for a while here at 60. A guy who apparently can punch after the age of 40. He became a power puncher, you know, in recent years. Moved up a weight class, got older, and now knocks people out. So there's always that. He's dangerous early. He also has that crazy Cuban amateur pedigree. So he's dealt with these Eastern European guys, the guys like Janabek who have that stand style, that in and out, that Eastern Europe block, that Eastern block, strong physical, technical style. So he has some experience with those kind of guys. But Father Time is undefeated, man. 42 is 42. And Janabek is big and youthful and strong and really good. I've been watching him for a long time. I watch him coming up on these top rank cards. He's a rough angle, a rough guy to deal with. He's awkward. He's strong. And this is his moment. He really has to perform. And I think he's been a little stale in the past, but he should be up for this one.
All right, Chris, any final words before we say goodbye? I have a final word. I'm going to jump right in here. As we are recording, Shakur versus Teofimo is official. Eddie Hearn tweeted it out. They will be fighting on January 31st. TBA, but it's looking like MSG. So earlier in this episode, you were wondering when it was going to announce. Guess what? It happened during the show. Don't you just love that?
And listen, guys, this is why our show is the best, because we are literally dealing with things as they occur. Listen, if we get something wrong on one show, cool. We're 2 to 3 days later. We're coming back and talking again. So we'll cover our back. So this happened actually in the middle of our show. So cool. Now we have a date. Now we know the fight's for real. God, it's a good one to look forward to. I mean, we're not done with 2025 yet, but that's a good one to start the year.
So it's official. Shakur Stevenson has ducked Dan Canobio to fight Teofimo Lopez. That's the main takeaway.
He went for the money, dude. He went for the money.
Typical of you prize fighters. I think it's going to be a very important fight. I've been on record saying that I don't think it's going to be a thriller. It doesn't have to be a thriller.
Can you stop repeating that, Dan? Come on, man. You're rage baiting.
I stick with my takes.
You're rage baiting now. You're just getting people pissed at you.
I'm sticking with my take, and I'm sticking with it because I'm seeing a lot of other talking heads saying the same exact thing I said. I happen to say it first, so I'll take the brunt of it from everyone out there, including Shakur, who said, I don't know shit about boxing, or I hate boxing, he said, actually, because I said that the fight's not going to be a thriller. It doesn't have to be a thriller. If it's a tactical fight, it's important that these guys are fighting in their prime. The winner of it should be catapulted into the top five or, you know, of pound for pound. It has that going for it. It's a big event. And like you said, Chris, 2025 was up and down. We have some bangers already on the schedule for 2026. So I'm really excited about this fight. Really excited about this weekend down in San Antonio. We'll have you everything locked to PPV.com and Inside Boxing Live, giving away free pay-per-views. Going to buy some boots, some churros. Going to go to a Spurs game. We'll do it all. And we will be back later in the week with a live episode from the grounds of San Antonio. Any final words? Final words, Chris.
Yeah, Dan, don't eat too many churros, dude. That number on your scale is getting up there. We need to lock it in, dude. We need to lock it in.
Jiggling the fat. You can hear that. Everyone,
it starts Monday.
Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have PEDs for me.